Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Very interesting Raw last night, but before we dig into it, some news has broken that could be very impactful, no pun intended, to the WWE and perhaps to AEW as well. Apparently, NXT will begin airing in September, not on Fox, but on the USA Network as a two-hour show.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
That's correct. USA Network, two-hour show starting in September. It will be Wednesday night. It will go head-to-head with AEW. Now, while a lot of people are celebrating this and saying this is great for NXT and the WWE, you're not going to need the network anymore to watch NXT, we should be cautious. And here's why we should be cautious if we are NXT fans. The moment this becomes a commercially viable entity, which it really isn't right now, if you're on the network, you can do whatever you want. The WWE has control of their network. They have disclaimers at the beginning. They have ways you can block shows. You can do what you want. They don't really have to answer to any sponsors. They don't have to answer to anybody except themselves. The moment this hits USA Network, that is going to change. And they're going to have to answer to the USA Network. And I would speculate Vince McMahon will have a much better chance at having his finger on it, if you know what I mean. In other words, right now, Vince McMahon, NXT doesn't matter to Vince McMahon. That's Triple H's baby, and that's Vince McMahon leaves it alone for the most part. Once this becomes a USA Network property, USA Network executives are going to have something to say, and I would imagine Vince McMahon will have something to say. Now, will that fundamentally change the show? I don't know. It could. It very well could. And then if NXT simply becomes another Raw and SmackDown, everything that the WWE fans love about NXT is going to get watered down. And if that happens, that's a disaster. It will not only not compete with AEW, it will probably destroy NXT. So all you can hope for is that Vince McMahon is too busy with his XFL, the USA executives realizing that, you know, they're losing a major show are going to want to pull out all the stops in this one to ensure good ratings. But this is going to be tough. And the reason it's going to be tough is this. NXT is the federation we all know. So it's like the band that plays every week at a certain club. And then a new band who's never played before is going to play at the same time in a different club. And most people are going to say, well, I can always see that band. They play every week. I'm going to watch this. So for a while, I think the new AEW TV show will get more attention because NXT is, for the most part, old hat. Fans already know what they have to offer. They're already caught up with the storylines. They get the whole situation. They're going to want to test the new waters. They're going to want to sample the new product. Whether they stay or not, that's a whole different proposition. And of course, it will bring NXT to people who do not have the WWE Network. Now, a lot of people are asking, well, did Fox not want to make a generous offer? Yeah, they did. But Vince McMahon's calculated decision was this. Fox Sports Network reaches far fewer homes than TNT. Meaning that it would give the appearance, even if NXT was doing very well, percentage-wise, of possible viewers, that AEW was killing them because of TNT's ability to reach more homes. USA Network, that's not true with. So it's a much more even playing ground. So now we will know. We definitely will know. It's approximately the same. So now we will know. And I would argue that if the NXT modus operandi stays exactly the same, and they present exactly the same style of wrestling, and they don't change for the USA Network, they don't change to try to appease the masses, they keep themselves true to what they've been doing, this is big trouble for AEW. Not initially. Everyone's going to sample AEW, I'm telling you. Everyone's going to. But give it a few months. Now, what the WWE can't do is say, well, if you didn't watch it Wednesday on USA, you can watch it Thursday on the network, because then people will say, well, I can do both then, can't I? I can watch my AEW, and then I can still catch up on NXT. So to be honest, if you really want to play hardball with AEW, you got to pull the repeats or make the repeats a lot farther down the road, maybe a week. You know, if it airs Wednesday, maybe, you know, Saturday or Sunday, you begin to air the replay. And I wouldn't even do that. I really wouldn't. I'd put something else in its place, and I'd just say, you have to watch this. That's what you're hoping for, right, is the ratings. So this is very interesting news. And it could go either way, Mike, because, again, if they change NXT to suit the more the mass market that they're now going to appeal to, I think this is going to be a disaster.
I think it could be a disaster. And look, if I'm Triple H, I fight it with all my being now. Will he be able to fight it like that? I'm not sure. Because this, after all, this is his baby, right? This is Triple H's baby.
This is.
Wouldn't the logic state that he would want to keep it the same? You know? Now, granted, logic and the WWE usually don't go hand in hand, but this is Triple H's baby.
I have no doubt that Triple H wants to keep it exactly the same, if not maybe energize it even more. However, now you're dealing with USA Network executives who are going to say, we need to work commercials into this. Remember, that's the situation they didn't have to deal with. We need to work commercials into this. We need to understand if it's on at 8 o'clock, it's got to be downplayed a little bit. We don't want this. We don't want that. There may be a whole new set of rules here, Mike. And if Vince McMahon also puts his finger on the scale and says, well, you know, for ratings, we have to try to increase this or downplay this, it becomes a different baby.
Well, yeah. And look, you can look at both of the NXTs right now, and they're basically the same product. NXT and NXT UK, they're the same product, and people love them. People love that product, that type of product. Now, if NXT, regular NXT, changes that much, then it's not going to be the same or close to being the same as NXT UK, if you get what I'm saying.
Right. All we can hope for is that the USA Network executives realize they are up against TNT, they are up against AEW, and they say, hey, fight fire with fire. Whatever they can do, you can do. Because if that's the case, then everything will be fine. And I think it's a trouble for AEW. I mean, AEW has released a statement. I think Matt Jackson said, bring it on. Well, you know, be careful what you wish for. Again, you guys are going to get the initial ratings because you're new and people want to check it out. They want to see what the show looks like, how it's formatted, who's going to be featured. It's a whole new thing. So, of course, people are going to flock to the new brand for a little while. But there's an awful lot of NXT fans, and there's an awful lot of great wrestling in NXT, and it is competition. Major competition. Let's get on to Raw, though, because there's so much to talk about. The first thing I want to say is this. I did not realize until last night how much I really do not like Corey Graves. Corey Graves not being on this show last night actually helped this show. And I know there's going to be fans who disagree who really like him, but I'm telling you, for my taste, I'm sitting here saying, my God, this is like a breath of fresh air. They're actually selling the heels. They're actually building up the faces. They are actually talking about the product. They're not trying to get themselves over. They're trying to get the people in the ring over. They're selling what's happening. And specifically, having Jerry Lawler there, my God, the difference is day and night. It's not close. I'm watching the Roman Reigns Dolph Ziggler match, and I'm imagining what Corey Graves would be bickering with Renee Young about, would be bickering with Cole about, would be saying about Roman Reigns, would be saying about Dolph Ziggler, and I'm saying this is so much better with Jerry Lawler doing it. Just it's so much better. The match was a very, very, very good match. Once again, for the people who say Roman Reigns isn't a very good wrestler, yes, Dolph Ziggler carried a lot of that match. I don't care. It takes two people to tango, and Roman Reigns was holding up his end. Roman Reigns is a very good professional wrestler, period. But that match was better for the announce team. It was actually better for the announce team. Jerry Lawler screaming, my God, that's it. When you really think that maybe that is it. Maybe they're going to push Ziggler a little bit here and make Roman look, you know, like he didn't take him seriously or something. There are certain aspects of Jerry Lawler's announcing that always seems to sell what's happening in the ring at the time and not himself. And Renee Young seemed 100 times better at her job playing off Lawler than she does off Graves. Even though I'm sure they're very close friends. The fact is, she played much better off of Jerry Lawler and later on off the other guy whose name eludes me than she did off ever did against Corey Graves, who all they do is bicker back and forth and distract you from what's happening in the ring. So hearing Jerry Lawler was wonderful. Watching this opening match was great. Dolph Ziggler has always been one of the better talents the WWE has. He's been ruined. He's been doormatted. He's been used as, you know, a throw rug. But the bottom line of the situation is, if you want to start stacking people up by talent, he's up near the top of the list. And he did a really good job. The thing about Ziggler that I like, I guess, is he never mails it in. You know, Ziggler always knows he's going out there to lose, and he never mails it in. And there are people who, believe me, there are people who could not do that. There are people who'd say, I never win. I'm just going to go out there and do what I have to do and collect my paycheck. Ziggler never does that. Never does that. But I still say that this announce team, Todd, made this match more entertaining than it even was.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I was shocked that they had Jerry the King Lawler out on commentary last night for one match, whatnot. And it sounded like sort of like the Attitude Era a little bit. He had that little flavor of a Hall of Famer doing commentary with Michael Cole and Renee Young. That was pretty cool.
It was just great. I mean, I just thought, Mike, the difference was day and night.
I mean, look, you get. I mean, Renee Young. We watched her doing smack, talking smack, and we say, well, she's got talent, and obviously she did because she got an offer from ESPN, right?
Yeah.
So obviously she has talent, and obviously Jerry Lawler is a guy that if you've got talent, you can he'll help you bring that talent out of you if you have that type of talent, you know. And obviously he made her look extremely good as a commentator.
Yeah, Jerry Lawler knows his chops. He knows when to say something and when not to say something. I thought it was great when he said, whatever you do, don't let them drop those elbows on you. Unless you want to know about life after death, he dropped those 6'8" elbows on me. And Lawler has a way of just being entertaining but not taking the spotlight off of the match. Corey Graves on a regular basis may be entertaining to some people, but it's taking the emphasis off of the match and putting it onto what he's saying or who he's bickering with. That's not good for an announcer. Through the whole night, I'm saying everything here tonight seems better. Why does it seem better? And I'm finally getting to the point where I'm saying it's the announcing. There was no heel announcer last night, and everything worked well. Really well. The bad guys seemed bad. The good guys got their sympathy, crowd sympathy. And I'm saying to myself, we need more of this. And less of this ridiculous Corey Graves bickering back and forth about how come it's okay. He's trying to be the millennial version of Bobby Heenan, and he's not close. Because Bobby Heenan, in a weird way, did exactly what Jerry Lawler does. Sells what's happening in the ring while being entertaining. Corey Graves is like that old Monty Python skit about the argument where the guy just comes in and says, is this where, I get an argument? And the guy says, no. Well, it says it on the door. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. Yes, it does. It's just contradiction. All Corey Graves does is say, that was fine. That wasn't cheating. That he won clean. That's not what Bobby Heenan did. I didn't realize until last night how much Graves was actually, in my opinion, hurting the show. Now, WWE doesn't seem to feel that way. They've got them on both. But I'm telling you, last night went way better for me as a fan, not having them there. Simple as that. So this was a really good match between Roman Reigns and Dolph Ziggler. And I thought that, once again, Roman Reigns doing an excellent job of putting a guy over while he's winning. Roman Reigns did everything he possibly could to make Dolph Ziggler look like $1 million. And Dolph Ziggler came out of that exactly as Jerry Lawler said. See, this is why it's so important. Jerry Lawler said, I think Dolph Ziggler was just a few seconds away from winning this match. And then he let his ego get in the way. And he starts talking and happened to call his shots. And he gave Roman Reigns an opening and Reigns took it. And it's his mouth that keeps getting him in trouble. It's not his talent. It's his mouth. By doing that, you've basically said Ziggler beat himself. That helps Ziggler's credibility when the announcers are saying, I truly believe he was seconds away from beating Roman Reigns and he blew it. He blew it. And I just think we need more of that, Mike.
I think so, too. And look, that's the thing. Because of how he's been acting lately, Ziggler, that should be his gimmick, you know? Because, he calls people back into the ring and he gets speared again by Goldberg or whatever, and he calls somebody else and he gets done something else by that other person. That's his gimmick now. His gimmick is, well, I could have beaten you. Basically, it goes back to, it should have been me.
Right. But now when, for instance, Goldberg really didn't sell Dolph Ziggler very much. He just tossed Dolph Ziggler around like a rag doll. But last night, Roman Reigns, clearly with his facial expressions, his body language, everything, was telling a story that, how is this guy still around? How come I can't put him away? He's a lot tougher than I thought he was. That's a really good thing. And then he walks out of that ring with the announcer saying, I truly believe he had Roman Reigns' number tonight. And he blew it by trying to showboat and hot dog. That's just good announcing. You don't get that from Corey Graves. I'm sorry, you just don't. I realize that there are a lot of people out there who dig Corey Graves, but I'm telling you that if you kept this announce team, even if you don't want to keep Lawler, if you kept the announce team that happened after this next event, I'm still you're still better off for it. So Lawler gets in the ring to do a King's Court. He's going to have Sasha Banks as his guest, but before he does, he talks about the King of the Ring tournament and how many people have won it and who his particular picks are. And I can tell you this, during the course of the night, my opinion has changed about who's going to win, because there's absolutely no way Drew McIntyre is going to win after everyone in the world said he's the one who's going to win. Booker T said he's going to win. Renee Young said he's going to win. Michael Cole said he's going to win. Everybody said he's going to win, so he's not going to win. But Lawler said, well, it's going to come down to Ricochet, and I think he, Cedric Alexander, I think he said. And then he went over to SmackDown. He was going to say who he thought was going to come down to there, and sure enough, the lights start to go out. Now, here is another great moment. Instead of standing there like a dumbass going, what's going on? What's going on? Jerry Lawler shows what we know about Jerry Lawler. See, this is a little bit of logic. If you know Jerry Lawler's character, you know he's a smart, cunning guy. He says, oh, no, I've seen this before. See you later. And he gets out of the ring. Now, why he goes up the rampway, I don't know. You thought he would have just went back to the announce table, but he goes up the rampway, and the Fiend is there, puts him down with a mandible claw, and that's the last we see of Jerry Lawler for the night, which is fine. It sells the Fiend. We bring on the new guy, I don't remember his name, who is very good. I mean, it's like having two Michael Coles, because they're very, very similar in style, but it's still better than Corey Graves. It's still better. So this segment, I thought, made a decent amount of sense, Todd. And again, it seems like the Fiend is targeting the Hall of Famers.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's a pretty good move right there. And the guy's name is Vic Joseph.
Okay.
From
right.
205 Live and NXT UK, I think. I think he's the play-by-play
right.
guy from there.
That's correct. Right. Excellent. Yes. Vic Joseph is better, in my opinion, than Corey Graves, Mike.
He really is, and that's the thing. And look, this is exactly how you use a Hall of Famer. You know, what they did with Lawler, I mean, they could have done the exact same thing with Steve Austin. Now, granted, you know, if you didn't want the Fiend, if you didn't want Bray Wyatt to use his, you know, the Sister Abigail on him, because it could put pressure on Stone Cold's neck, fine. Let him use the Mandible Claw. That's not going to put any pressure on Austin's neck, you know. I mean, that
right.
it is what it is with that. But like I said, that's exactly how you use. And again, the character development there. We know this character, and we know the King's character for how many years now?
Yeah. Long time. And again,
yeah,
you're
so,
right.
I mean,
we know exactly what he's about, and we know he's not going to just stand there and be a sitting duck, and he didn't. So that was good. We then get Ricochet and The Miz versus Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin in a totally unnecessary match. Here's the thing. When it came out, I kind of, you know, up to now, I'm saying about Raw, this is great so far. I'm really digging it. Then I said, okay, this is sort of an unnecessary match. I get it. They're fighting each other in the next round of the King of the Ring, so now they're going to be in a tag. I get it. But I don't want to see Drew McIntyre anywhere near Baron Corbin. I don't want to go back to this nonsense of their buddies and they got a little click. I don't want that. And, The Miz and Ricochet, whatever. It was an okay match. You know, it was fine for what it was. And if there was anything I did specifically like about it, it was that, in a manner of speaking, The Miz cheated for them to win. The Miz just simply pulled Ricochet out of the way from the outside of the ring. It was just like, yeah, no, And that's what led to him crashing into the buckle and getting pinned. It was an okay match. It didn't, I don't think it helped the evening much for me, but it didn't hurt the evening either, Mike. So I'm fine with it.
And I'm fine with it too, especially the fact that The Miz and Ricochet look like they have a chemistry together.
Yeah, it was kind of a nice teaming, no question about it. You know, I just don't want to see Corbin and Drew into this nonsense. Hopefully that's the last we see of that, because let's not go back there. Let's absolutely not go back there. We have a statement that Sasha Banks is still going to talk, but obviously not to the King, because the King has been taken out of the facility or whatever. So we're obviously waiting for that to happen. And then we're told that Braun Strowman will take on AJ Styles for the United States Championship. So my initial reaction to that is pretty much exactly what happened. I said, well, we know what's going to happen, don't we? Braun Strowman's going to throw AJ Styles around for about 4 minutes, and then the club is going to jump in and get him disqualified. I mean, that is the only option that's going to happen, and that's exactly what happened. The reason this is okay, though, there's twofold why it's okay. One is, we've never seen AJ Styles and Braun Strowman go at it, so it was unique and different, and for that reason, it was kind of exciting. Second is, Braun Strowman did not throw the club around single-handedly. He was actually getting his ass beat by all three of them, which was selling the club as these guys, even with Braun Strowman, that's too much. So you imagine that, you know, Ricochet's not going to hang in there if Braun Strowman can't. Seth Rollins comes down, helps clear the ring, and tries to make some headway, I guess, as being friends with Braun Strowman by saying, you know, now we're even, you came down last week for me or whatever. Yeah, it's an okay match, only because we hadn't seen it before, Todd, and also because Braun Strowman was told to sell the club as, you know, three guys that he's not going to be able to just manhandle if they triple team him. Makes a big difference.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it makes a big difference right there with Braun Strowman not to be able to handle three guys all at once. It's like a regular type wrestler type, and not like a monster, like a human being, not like a monster type that just to handle two or three or four guys at once. It's just,
well, even if they want to keep the monster persona, what they've kind of said then is Braun Strowman is an exceptional person, and even he can't do it. So that means that if the club jump you, if all three of them jump you, and you're, you know, Ricochet, or you're The Miz, or you're whoever, you're not going to be able to fight them off. Because if Braun Strowman can't, you can't. So that's kind of the signal they sent, Mike. So I was good with that.
I was good with that, and that makes sense, because think about the groups in the history of wrestling, the Horsemen, DX, and all these, even to some extent, the Triple Threat. When they were all together and they jumped you, it didn't matter if you were Sid Vicious or 911, you were going down.
Right.
You know? It didn't matter.
Right.
And it didn't matter how much of a monster you were. Yeah, it really is. And
it helps the club.
So, yep.
But here's the problem. Then afterwards, Seth Rollins backstage says, you know what we should do? I know you are looking at my belt. I see, you know, in your eyes, you want to be the champion. And to be perfectly honest, if it was up to me, you'd be the next guy I fought, because you deserve it. However, we got to deal with the club. So how about you and I team up tonight and take on Anderson and Gallows for the belts? And my first thought is, what the hell? You know, this, number one, if you are the Universal Champion, you shouldn't be thinking about anything else except defending your Universal Championship, period. Number two, I'm saying, okay, the WWE's boxed themselves into a corner. What are they going to do? Are they going to have Braun Strowman turn on Seth Rollins? They might. So that's kind of where I was leading, is that Braun Strowman is going to turn on Seth Rollins. Cost him the win. and the match is on. That's where my head was, because I can't imagine any other outcome. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but, you know, I just can't imagine any other outcome at this point. We then have Natty backstage. And I do like this skit. However, I warn the WWE that you can't make Natty a whiny little shrinking violet. Because if you do, you're destroying Natty. And I fully, absolutely realize that the loss of someone's parents, I've lost my parents. I know what people go through who lose their parents. But a year later, to still be saying, I'm grieving, this is getting a little much. And then Sasha attacks her. Sasha does a great job, by the way. And I'm sure they cleared it, but I mean, you want to talk about a little gasoline on the fire is, you know, she says, go to hell, Natty, and tell your dad I said hello. Now, Jim the Anvil Neidhart would find that hilarious. Jim the Anvil Neidhart is probably up above clapping his hands and laughing and pulling on his beard saying this is awesome. But at the end of the day, it's not helping his daughter because she's not going to beat Sasha Banks. They're going to save Sasha Banks for Becky Lynch, and Natty is not beating Sasha Banks. So the problem with this is if you do have any plans for Natty, you're ruining her. If you don't have any plans for Natty and her only job is to make other people look good and train backstage or do whatever, then fine. But then you also have to understand that your job is to make Natty the sympathetic character that fans really honestly do like. And when you make her that whiny and that boo-hoo-hoo-ish, fans tend to say, oh, to hell with her. And you don't want them to cheer Sasha Banks. So you got to be very, very careful of how much sympathy you try to get for someone. And I think you're getting a little maudlin with her. Other than that, I liked it. It's just I'm warning the WWE that if you make Natty unlikable because she's such a whiny little complainer and boo-hoo-hooer, and, you know, she's all emo constantly, fans aren't going to cheer her. And then you're going to have the reverse effect when she fights Sasha, and that is the fans are going to be on Sasha's side. And that is not what you want. So, Todd, they got to be careful with that, but it was a good skit.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, they got to stop that with her whining every week. Just do it once. Just once, and that's it. Then try to go after Sasha Banks after her arm heals or something. And that's getting too much. Getting the people whine and whine every week and cry. It's turning like the Big Show, like he was basically.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, you know, you're right. What they should have done is just have Natty say, look, Sasha Banks, I don't know what her problem is. I guess she's trying to make a name off for herself because she took her ball and went home. But if she thinks she's going to come in here and just railroad me to make a name for herself, to hell with her. Right now, my arm is injured. As soon as my arm is not injured, Sasha, we're going to see if you're just as tough when I expect you to fight me as you are when I expected you to be, you know, on my side. Then have Sasha jump her. But to sit there and say, I was in the van and my dad, and that was bad, because I'm telling you, it's turning fans off and fans won't root for her. And then you're going to have, you know, Sasha Banks getting cheered. And once again, WWE is going to say, how come? How come they're cheering the bad guy? Well, that's why, Mike.
That's why. And look, if you wanted Natty to do what she did, you know, the only thing Natty should have said in that thing before she started in on that is that I didn't get to say what I wanted to say the last time. Because of Sasha Banks, I didn't get to say what I wanted to say the last time. And then maybe add a little bit on to it. Then when Sasha jumps her again, you know, then the fans would go, crap. I hate, we wanted to hear her. I hate Sasha for this because we knew this was going to be emotional. That's all Natty should have to say was, I didn't get
see,
to
I'm worried they're bringing this back because they've already done it once with Ruby Riott. I'm worried that bringing this back a year later is going to have the adverse effect. They should take a lesson from Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch did a very, very strong promo. Very strong promo on Sasha Banks. And she really just, I mean, laid it on the line. Told it like it was, and it sounded like it was coming from the heart. And I said, wow, that was really good. She did an excellent job. That's probably what a person would say under those circumstances. See, you can't relate to Natty because I'm saying to myself, who acts that way? Becky Lynch, yeah, that's what you'd say. So I don't know. We'll see where this goes. But still, Sasha did a good job, I thought. She'll make a good heel. Samoa Joe versus Cesaro in the first round of the King of the Ring tournament. And I got to tell you, there was a large part of me that's rooting for Cesaro. I'm a big Cesaro fan anyway. And I'm saying to myself, man, would this be a boon for his career if he could be a king? And it would kind of fit him. I could see Cesaro with a crown and the cape. You know, I could see that working for Cesaro. But I knew that probably wasn't going to happen. I know they're trying to promote Joe pretty heavy now. And I do think he's going to turn face despite everything that's happened. They're just testing the waters to see how much the fans are on his side. This was a really good match. Really strong match. I know there was the one blown spot where Joe didn't jump when Cesaro tried to suplex him, but look, it's one spot. The rest of this match went perfectly as far as I'm concerned. And even though I'm a big Cesaro fan and I would have rather seen Cesaro win, it was a great victory for Joe and it was a really, really, really strong match. And I'm starting to say to myself, well, maybe this King of the Ring tournament isn't going to be so bad after all. I mean, if we're going to see matches like this, and the beauty of it, I guess, maybe some people will think it's a detriment, but I think it actually helps, is that it's not a one-night tournament. So now Joe don't have to fight again. So you don't have to worry about, well, I can't expend too much energy or the matches have to be relatively short because I got to wrestle three times. You don't have to worry about that. So you can actually cut loose. And I'm actually digging this tournament being a longer, drawn-out thing than I am a one-night affair. I get the one-night affair is cool, but we all know what that leads to, and that is shorter matches and, you know, saving people's energy for the next round and all that kind of stuff. This way, I don't think we don't have to deal with that at all. And it showed in this match, Mike, and I really think both of these guys did an excellent job.
They did an excellent job. And the match started out with a bang when Cesaro runs, as soon as the bell rings, Cesaro runs across the ring, uppercuts him, and goes for the pin. That was logical. You know, that was a very logical thing to have written in a match. And look, this was a relatively hard-hitting match.
Very. And Mike, you know what the beauty of this was? I can't say for sure, but I'm watching Cesaro, and he is literally sucking wind. And I'm saying, he's faking that. Cesaro's in really good cardio shape, and he's not sucking wind like that after this. He's doing that to play off that Joe, a much heavier, bigger brawler type guy, has him worn down. And then the announcers made that point and said, these guys are worn down. You know, the heavier guy leaning on Cesaro all night long has worn Cesaro down. He doesn't have that strength that he used to have. It's waning him. Everything was very logical.
Again, this was the new guy, the other guy that made the cut. It wasn't Renee and it wasn't Michael Cole. It was the guy they brought on it was Vic Joseph. And it was, again, logical for him to say that, you know. And if this would have been Cole, it would have been a 10-minute argument, you know, of something or other, you know? And you know that, right?
Yeah, of course. Well, well, that's what would have happened, is they would have said, oh, well, this, that, and the other thing. He's not out of gas. He's bluffing. Forget it. The story that Cesaro was trying to tell is Joe is a bigger, heavier, hard-hitting guy. A lot of the impactful moves he used has taken the wind out of me, despite the fact that I'm in great cardio shape. Let the announcers point that out and say, look, Cesaro is really taking deep breaths here. Cesaro is out of gas. And a lot of that's because Joe is so hard hitting and impactful, and he's so heavy and he just keeps coming. It's even worn down a guy who's a cardio machine like Cesaro. That is such a good story to tell. And Cesaro is, listen, he's invaluable to this company. Because every time you watch Cesaro, the match is different. Yes, he has some of the same moves, but he gets them done in a different way. Cesaro starts this out by that instant running hit. He never did that before. Each time you see Cesaro, he mixes it up a little bit and says, how can I make this match a little bit different? So it's not exactly a cookie cutter of the last time they've seen me. And I can't tell you how invaluable that is. I wish they would use Cesaro a little bit stronger. I really, really, really was rooting for him in the King of the Ring, because I think that really could have turned his career around. And I think he would have made a really good King of the Ring. But I knew deep down inside that they were going to let Samoa Joe win. And I'm okay with it, because it was a great match. And I think that the fans were highly entertained by it. It sold Joe, which is exactly what they're trying to do. So, you know, it was fine, Todd. I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it was a pretty good match right there, like you said. They both put on a pretty good match, and I know Samoa Joe's not a really good wrestler, but he never really put on good matches. But it was a pretty good match, pretty decent. The right guy should have won, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it was okay. I mean, you know, Joe is one of these guys who's only as good as the guy that he's fighting. And that's a fact. Samoa Joe, I won't say that Samoa Joe isn't good in the ring, but what I will say is this: Joe is not going to make the match. The guy he's fighting is how good the match is going to be. If he fights Nakamura, if he fights Daniel Bryan, if he fights Cesaro, it's going to be a good match. If he fights Baron Corbin, it's not going to be a good match. He needs a really good opponent to put on a good match. That's the way Joe's always been. And I mean, to an extent, that's the way everybody is. But some people like Shawn Michaels and others could really carry you. If you were a stiff, he'd still carry you and still put on a really good match. Joe's not that guy. Joe needs a good opponent. He had one last night, and it was a damn good match. Okay, so then we get to the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, which is the New Day versus the Revival. And again, you know how I feel about the Revival. The Revival are very good in the ring. I don't think they have any personality. I don't necessarily think they get the WWE style all that well. They played off that the New Day have never beaten the Revival, which is very good. That's a very good piece of information to pass on. The match was good. And then Randy Orton, which we knew was coming, interferes. And what did I say last week? I said if they want to play Randy Orton right, Randy Orton has to do something to both members of the New Day other than Kofi Kingston on the road to facing Kofi Kingston for the title. That's the way they have to play this. Whether he fights Xavier one-on-one and hurts Xavier Woods, he fights Big E one-on-one and hurts Big E, at some point he's going to have to do something to the other two New Day to sell this fight. And that's exactly what they did. And they did it pretty well. They did it pretty well. This is the only way you can really use Randy Orton. If you don't use Randy Orton in this way, Randy Orton is boring. You got to use Randy Orton in the sense of they kind of know that nobody thinks Randy Orton's winning the belt, and he's not. But you got to suspend our disbelief a little bit. And now that you say, well, I don't know, he's hooked up with the Revival, so now they're kind of even with the New Day. That's not a numbers game anymore. And the Revival seemed perfectly happy to be his henchman. And look what they've done. They may have broken Xavier Woods' leg. Randy Orton, you know, making Kofi Kingston watch. At least suspends your disbelief a little bit. And you say, huh, could they be going in some direction with Orton and the Revival? I don't know, you know? The answer is no, but at least it creates a little bit of a shadow of doubt. So I was okay with this too. Now, again, you've saved, the reason it's a twofold win is you've helped the feud between Kofi and Randy Orton, and you've saved the New Day versus the Revival with the caveat New Day has still never beaten the Revival by disqualification, but that's it. New Day has still not pinned or made submit the Revival, so you still have that fresh. And now they have some motivation to beat them. So this is a couple of branches on the tree, Mike, so I thought this was okay.
I thought it was okay, too. And look, it wasn't like the New Day looked bad in the match. I mean, it was like, Xavier did what he did. Of course, the power game with Big E is always going to be there. And Big E showed a little bit his usual athleticism with the dive through the ropes and all that stuff. But again, and it helped, and it also helped the heel thing, the heel attitude for the Revival, because the Revival did what they did, and they held Xavier Woods down, you know, to allow the breaking of the leg.
Yeah, the Revival has to be used that way. The Revival has to be used that way because they're not good on the mic. They need somebody to be like their leader. When they were with Shane, it worked better than it did other times. And now with Randy Orton, it's going to work better because they're better that way. It's simple as that. They're better when they are henchmen to somebody than they are just two guys trying to win the belts. Okay, so what do we get to? We get to the women's tag team title match, and that is Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Fire and Desire. They're throwing everybody at Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, and they're just crushing them. The danger with this is the following. You don't have that many women. And I know some people are saying, well, wait, because Nia and Tamina are coming. That's what this is going to be, Nia and Tamina. Don't count on that. Nia Jax removed a lot of the WWE references from her Twitter, and I'm not 100% sure Nia Jax is coming back anytime soon anyway. Now, maybe that's a bluff. Maybe they told her to do that to make it look like she's not coming back, and then she'll come back. I don't know. But Nia Jax has been posting some pretty cryptic things indicating that she'd rather just not. So I don't know. We'll wait and see on that. This was okay. It is what it is. At least they're making Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss look worthy. And they're defending constantly. The problem is you've ran out of tag teams. There's really nobody left. So let's go to the next first round of the King of the Ring, and it's Cedric Alexander versus Sami Zayn. And everybody, this from this point forward is where Raw went to the toilet. Sami Zayn, and I've said it on two shows now in a row, so let me repeat it for the people who haven't listened to the last two shows. Sami Zayn is being humiliated by the WWE. Now, not because he loses constantly. Because there are people who are jabrones, and that's their job, is to lose constantly. Zack Ryder, I know he was a tag team champion and an intercontinental, but, you know, Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Mike Kanellis, you know, those guys are there to put other guys over. That's what they're there for. But you'll notice that every tournament that comes up, Mike Kanellis' name isn't in it. Every fatal four-way to decide who the number one contender is, Zack Ryder isn't in it. Or Curt Hawkins isn't in it. Because the WWE is telling you, well, they're not worthy to be in it. You know, they're okay competitors, but they're not worthy to be considered in this. Sami Zayn is in every single one. Money in the Bank tournament, Sami Zayn is in it. Fatal Four-Way to decide who the number one contender for a belt is, Sami Zayn is in it. King of the Ring tournament, Sami Zayn is in it. They're all trying to tell you, Sami Zayn is special. Sami Zayn is the elite, and then they won't let him win. It's a running joke. It's a running joke. Let's promote him like he's a big deal and then make him lose like a dog every week. Let's promote him like he's one of the top guys and never, ever let him win. And that's done on purpose, because someone has to make that decision. That's done on purpose to humiliate Sami Zayn. And it's my own personal conspiracy theory that Sami Zayn rocked the boat on Saudi Arabia a little bit, and then the WWE ain't happy. So once again, we know what's going to happen. Sami Zayn's going to come down like he's a really worthy contender, and the announcers are going to be forced to say, you know, Sami Zayn could really restart his career if he wins and gets into this King of the Ring second round and maybe even wins this whole thing. This could be a resurgence of Sami Zayn's. Oh, never mind, he lost. It wasn't a great match. It was another humiliation and another embarrassment to Sami Zayn, who I don't know how much more he can suffer before you basically just say, look, just make him a jabron. If that's what you're going to do, then don't promote him like he's a top guy. I have no problem with you making Sami Zayn a jabron. Just don't promote him. I don't see Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins and all these people on TV every week because you don't promote them. You leave them for, yeah, they're kind of the secondary talent. Not Sammy. He's always front and center in everything, but he's the loser. He's just like the warm body. He's the running joke. And it's a shame. It's really a shame. And it's affecting his wrestling, too, because Sami Zayn is better than what we saw this week on Raw. Cedric Alexander and Sami Zayn should be a 4-star match at minimum, with them giving average effort. This was probably a 2.5 or 3 because Sami Zayn, Mike, in my opinion, has just about had enough.
He's just about had enough. And look, here's the deal. We've talked ad nauseum here about what constitutes burying a person. Well, what they're doing to Sami Zayn, that constitutes burying somebody. They're burying Sami Zayn.
I agree. And by virtue of the fact that they keep promoting him as if he's something and then he's nothing, that's truly burying somebody. You can't say Zack Ryder is buried or Mike Kanellis is buried or Curt Hawkins is buried, because that's their job. They never were a top guy, really. And their job is to just go in there and make the other guys look good. And occasionally you get a win or they give you a belt to show you that you're still valuable to the company. But for the most part, your job is to go in there and make other guys look good. But then they don't promote you like you're a top guy. Sami Zayn is promoted every week as if he's one of the top guys. If tomorrow they have a tournament of the best in the world tournament, Sami Zayn will be in it. You wait and see. Why? He never wins. He hasn't won a match since he's come back. He's lost every feud humiliatingly. And yet, oh, nope, Sami Zayn, folks. He's a top guy. That's truly burying him, because that is putting him right out in the spotlight and then saying, yeah, but he sucks. Let's put him in the spotlight again in a very feature major event. Oh, he loses. Let's put him in the spotlight again. Oh, he loses. He's not the opening match taking on a guy who you know already the WWE is promoting. He's in a main event or a tournament or a big angle where only the top guys get, and then they just keep crushing him. And that's done on purpose. There's no doubt in my mind that that's done on purpose. So Cedric Alexander moves on. Fine. We knew he was going to move on anyway. Means nothing. It wasn't that great of a match. It was what it was. We then get to the Universal Championship. I should say the Universal Champion, Seth Rollins, and Braun Strowman competing for the tag team titles against the OC, who just 5 minutes ago, well, an hour ago, you made look so tough that the three of them beat down Braun Strowman by them, you know, and Braun Strowman couldn't fight back without help. So I'm saying to myself, what a great move. You're making the OC strong. You're really making them look strong. You're absolutely doing the right thing with the OC. You're making it look like, listen, when these three guys are together, it doesn't really matter who you are. You're in for it. So I'm thinking, well, this is the moment where Braun Strowman turns on Seth Rollins. Maybe this is the moment Seth Rollins turns on Braun Strowman. I don't know. but something's going to happen. Count out, DQ, I don't know, but something's going to happen because they're certainly not going to take those belts away from the OC. Wrong. So the OC are champions how long before they finally meet their ultimate fate? Not very long. Does that make them look tough and world beaters and everything else? No. And why? Ask yourself why. Do you think Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman are going to hang on to those belts for very long? Obviously not, because they're going to fight each other. So what is the bloody point of undermining a top faction just to get a stupid angle out of it? You could have done the, if all you want is to show that Braun Strowman is a big, tough, powerful guy who can really cut loose when he has to, then let him get disqualified. Let him haul AJ Styles in the ring and he's disqualified, and let him lay weights to him if that's what you want and be disqualified. And then Seth Rollins could say, yeah, you lost your temper. We could have been the tag team champions and you could have got your feud out of that. No, you have to make them the tag team champions because Seth Rollins doesn't have enough gold. So now you got to make Seth Rollins a tag team champion for a short period of time so you can pull off an angle. So now you're using the tag team championships as an angle. The belts mean nothing. It's just an angle to get these two guys to fight when we don't need an angle for them to fight. We don't need any angle for them to fight. Just announcing they're going to fight is good enough. We don't need this. This was a really bad decision. A really, really bad decision. Because we didn't even get to see the OC come down for 2 or 3 months with all that gold. You went from chapter 2 of the story to the end way too quickly. We all know eventually the OC is going to meet their doom at the hands of some team. But this soon? Could you not have stretched it along and made it look like, I don't know who's ever going to take these belts away from these guys because this is going to be a task. This, you know, they're all for one and one for all, and they'll do anything they have to keep these belts, and it's not going to be easy, folks. Look how many teams are trying and they can't get it done, and when is this going to happen? And then fans anticipate it. And each time a really top team comes along, you say, this is the moment, this is the moment, this is the moment. And it's not, and it's not, and it's not. And finally, when it is, you get that reaction you want. But when you've only given them a couple of weeks as champion and they've already met their doom, well, then I don't know. And for nothing, by the way, if you're going to say, well, we're promoting this team as being a big top team now and they're going to be impossible to beat, okay, but that's not what you're doing. They won't even hold the belts past Clash of Champions, I doubt. This is going to be a 1, 2, 3 week thing tops. So you did it for no reason. There's no reason behind this. And all it succeeded in doing is making the OC look like, well, we weren't as good as we said we were. Because we, who've been together for 100 years, can't beat a team who just formed tonight. Just tonight. Can't get it done. Because we're that inferior. And we have an extra guy helping us, by the way. And we still can't get it done. So, Mike, I thought this was a tragic mistake.
Yeah, it really was. And that's the thing. I mean, I was thinking, now it wouldn't have been for the championship, but the money match, had they had held on to the titles, would have been the OC versus the New Day. That would have been a money match, you know?
Right.
I mean, that would have been the money match, you know, and now you can't have it. And they keep saying about Kofi Kingston, well, his schedule is killing him and he's doing things that everybody never thought he could or would do because of his scheduling. Well, I mean, look, you've got a guy who's got the championship, right? The Universal Championship. What's the difference between that and the WWE Championship? Same schedule, same
right,
thing.
Right.
Same. You can make the same arguments about Seth Rollins that they're constantly making about Kofi and Seth.
Plus, Seth Rollins is doing it hurt. He's doing it hurt. Oh, at 50%, I can be the Universal Champion and the Tag Team Champion because I'm that far superior to everybody else. No one's buying it anymore. No one's buying this anymore. This is a gimmick to get Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins to fight. And you never use your belt in that kind of a gimmick. You just don't. There was no need. If you're telling me, well, I don't know, we need to get some reason why Braun Strowman and Seth Rollins are going to be fighting. How about if they win the tag team titles and then they lose them quickly or Braun accuses Seth of not wanting really wanting the belt or trying to be friends with him because he's afraid of him and doesn't really want to fight him. Or so. I'd say, no, let's not do that. Let's just have him fight even in a non-title match. Why couldn't that be a non-title match? If that's a non-title match, I have no problem with it. What did they do to deserve a title shot? They're not even a team. They haven't beaten one team. So what in the world could you possibly have done to deserve a title opportunity? Nothing. That's a non-title match. I'm fine with it. But to have them be the champions just to say, well, this is good because, like, you know, then we'll start to kind of, in 2 weeks, we'll tear them apart. Why bother? All you've done is weaken the OC as tag team champions then. You could have done it last night if that's what you wanted to do. You know, you could have had Braun Strowman accidentally hit Seth Rollins or Braun Strowman be taken out and Seth Rollins get mad saying, where were you? Or disqualify, whatever the hell it happened to be. If you wanted to get them at each other's throats, you could have done it last night and kept the belts where they belong. You've just given strength to the OC. You've just given them credibility that they are a faction to be dealt with. And you've put the question in the fans' mind, when and where will they be dealt with? Because these guys are going to be a force. And then you've just said, no, they're not really. These two guys who just formed today, took them out, no problem. Okay, well, then I don't know. Then they've lost credibility. You've just lost all the credibility you worked so hard to give to the OC, and I just don't understand why you did that. There's no outcome to this that justifies removing those belts, in my opinion. No outcome, regardless of what it is, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, there's no reason for them to be the tag team champions. Who would they beat? Nobody. I would just have won by disqualification in a tag match or something against Gallows and Anderson, but WWE does weird booking that way.
They really do. I just don't get it. Again, if you ran this by me, I would say, look, it's a good angle, except a great angle doesn't hurt anybody. This does. This hurts the OC. Even if they win it back next week, this hurts the OC because they are now beaten. The fans have now gotten what? Let's say the OC was mostly there being cheered, but let's say they weren't. Let's say the OC is a big heel faction. Then the fans have gotten their satisfaction already. They've already seen them beaten. That's not what you want. You want the fans to say, damn, when are they ever going to get beat? They always seem to find a way to, you know, and then it's special when they're beaten. And I suppose we should talk about the Rey Mysterio thing, and I'm not gonna mince any words with this. Not that I really ever do. Rey did a fine job saying, look, there's going to come a time in my career, and I knew it, when I just don't have it. My body is not responding the way I want my body to respond. I'm not 20 anymore. And there comes a time in each wrestler's life when they know it's time. And this is it. If I can't even beat Andrade, he beats me 2 straight falls. I can't avenge the things that he's done. It's time to rethink things. And maybe it's just time to hang it up. And the great thing he said was, and let the younger athletes have their day. Then along comes Dominic, his son, who has potentially taken acting lessons from Yamaguchi. Remember Yamaguchi? This kid don't have it on the microphone. And he's like, you promised me that we would be a tag team, Dad. Please don't quit the WWE. Wow. It ruined everything that Ray did, because Ray's was believable and this kid was not believable. Not believable at all. He don't look like a wrestler. He don't sound like a wrestler. I hope he wrestles like a wrestler. Maybe he will, because I'm sure Ray has trained him, but he ain't looking like somebody that's going to make it in the WWE. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. And if he does, by virtue of his bloodline, somebody better get an acting coach for this kid, because he's the pits. I know he's not very old. I know I should be giving him a break. I know he hasn't done much of it, but you got to take it seriously. You know, if somebody gives you this spot and you know it, you know, you spend yourself hours in front of a mirror saying, how am I going to do this? How am I going to sound convincing? How am I going to really make it look like, you know, and the kid comes off really as almost being selfish. I don't want you to quit because you told me that you would be my tag team partner. So you can't quit, even if it means you getting your ass kicked and your body being broken down because you made a promise to me. That's a good son. See, I would have rather they had it written that he said, you told me that if I start my wrestling career and I don't win, I lose. Not to give up, because every wrestler goes through that. There's no difference between you now and you 6 months ago, Dad, except you're going through a losing streak. And I don't want you to quit, because someday when I'm in this business, I want to look across the ring and say, my tag team partner is my dad. That you could get away with. Because then he's trying to pump his dad up, saying, you're not washed up. You're not finished. You're not less than you used to be. It's not your time yet. The way it came across is, yeah, you're a washed up old man who's getting his ass kicked, but you made me a promise and you better stick to it, Dad, because I need you to light my way here in the WWE. That doesn't sound good. Who wrote that? That makes him look like a selfish little bastard who don't care if his dad gets steamrollered and or crippled because, without you, I'm nobody. And you're my lunch ticket, Dad. That's what that makes it look like. I don't understand that. And it's also such a touching moment. It wasn't a touching moment. It was the exact opposite of a touching moment. A touching moment is if he comes and says, you instilled in me never to give up. And there's not one single fan in this arena or your son who's looking at you that thinks you're any different than you ever were. Everybody goes through a bad stretch. And you used to tell me when you're going through that bad stretch, you look on the bright side and you keep trying. Well, I'm telling you, you're not finished. I'm your son. If I thought you were finished, I wouldn't want you to go out there and get yourself hurt, Ted. I'd be the first one to tell you it's time, but it's not. You just need to refocus. Then it's okay. But to say, well, yeah, you sucked, and yeah, you're getting your ass kicked, but you can't hang that mask up because what'll I do? How am I going to get my foot in the door without you? And then Ray says, okay, for you, I'll do it because I love you. Okay, for you, I will get my ass kicked constantly because I made you a promise and I love you. That doesn't make him sound like a good son, Mike. It's a very weird skit.
That is a very weird skit. And look, let's do a quick comparison to a very young, from him to a very young Reed Flair. Remember when Reed Flair did the old tackling thing of and kind of beat on Eric Bischoff at the time? Before he did that, he said something, and he did a very good, credible acting job in defending his dad, you know? And then we saw what he did, and that's I'm fine if that's what you were going to do, because at the time, again, much like Ray is, Ray's a face right now. At that time, Ric Flair was a face, you know, and they were doing the whole thing, doing the fighting against the NWO and all that stuff, and they tried to bring Flair's family into it, and of course they were trying to make Bischoff to be this tough martial arts guy, and then Reed did what he did to him. So, you know, then there's that. Now, I just want to say one last thing about the previous match, with the club. When that match should have really ended, was there was a point when Seth Rollins went to the top rope to do whatever move he was going to do, and then AJ goes up and messes with his balance, and he falls and he lands on his back, and there was a pinning attempt there. That's when that match should have ended. If you wanted a pinning attempt, if you wanted them to win by a pinning attempt, that's when that match should have ended.
I agree. And before we give our rating, let me just say this. If you're going to use Dominic as a wrestler, why don't you wait until you say he's ready? He's ready. He can do a match. Maybe not a great match, but he can do a match. And then you say, okay, Ray is retiring. He's not taking off the mask. Or if he takes off the mask, he turns his face to the camera so you really can't see it. Not that he hasn't wrestled without the mask, but you know the deal. Takes the mask off, walks away, leaves the mask. Dominic comes along, picks up the mask, puts the mask on, and says, if my dad can't do it, as his son, I have to. Then you have a little bit of a feud with him and Andrade, and he gets his ass kicked by Andrade to the point where Andrade's looking like he's going to hurt him, and here comes Rey Mysterio with one of his other masks and says, I'm not letting this happen to my son. And you have a real good match with Andrade and Rey, where Rey ultimately conquers Andrade, and you have that moment where him and his son embrace, and then they're a tag team if that's what you want. But that's a story you tell over a month or 2 months. This is a story of, you can't leave, Dad, because you're my meal ticket, and that's a dumb story, as opposed to, I'm going to stand up for my father, but I'm not good enough to do it, but at least I tried. I had the courage to do it. I knew I wasn't skilled enough to take on Andrade, but I tried. And that lights the fire back at Ray, who says, that's probably what I needed, is motivation. Sometimes after this many years in the business, you lack your motivation. Well, I have it now. How is that not a better story, Mike, than what they're telling now?
That's not. And that story might very well have ended up with Ray passing the mask down to his son.
Right.
You know?
At least a mask, right. There's so much you can do with it, so many branches on the tree. I shrug my shoulders at these writers, because there's so much you can do with the material you have, and you always take the least good road, almost always. So the last couple of things that happened on Raw, I'm not good with. I think was terrible. However, the announce team, fantastic. Please consider keeping them. Please consider keeping them. If you can't lure Jerry Lawler back, which I would love, but if you can't lure Jerry Lawler back, send Corey Graves somewhere else then, or keep him on one of the shows, but give Vic Joseph a chance then. He was really good. He was very enjoyable. I enjoyed the announcing more last night than I have in years. Because Corey Graves wasn't screwing things up trying to get himself over, or saying just stupid things that make no sense, or endlessly bickering with people instead of calling moves. That's number one. Number two, you are starting to see these guys getting the handcuffs taken off them a little bit. When's the last time you've seen a Dolph Ziggler and Roman Reigns match where you had that kind of action? WWE's realizing we got to let them wrestle, and they're starting to do it. Roman Reigns and Ziggler put on a great match. Samoa Joe and Cesaro put on a great match. There were two very good matches. Then there was a gimmick match with AJ and Braun, which led to the end. That's fine. There was a lousy garbage match thrown in, and then there was poor Sami Zayn being thrown to the wolves. And then there was another gimmick match for Randy Orton to come in and just do what he did, but that was okay because that gimmick actually works. So a lot more worked than didn't work. I would never have taken those belts off the OC. Absolutely not. They're untouchable for at least a couple of months. Any idea that passes my desk that says OC loses the belt is vetoed. We got to keep them looking strong. We got to keep them looking like they're not going to lose to anybody. We got to keep them aggravating the fans of when and who are going to beat them. Absolutely no way they drop yet. No way. I don't care what the end result is or what the story you're trying to tell is. If it starts with the OC loses the belts right now, it's no. That's number one. And number two, the Rey Mysterio thing didn't come out the way they wanted to do it. But I'm not going to kill him for this too much. Overall, this was a better Raw than a lot of the Raws I've seen lately. Not just because of the announced team, but because of some of the matches and their ability to try to keep an ongoing story going. They furthered some stuff with Kofi and Randy Orton in the right way. They furthered some stuff with Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks in the right way. I think that Sasha Banks going on TV and saying first, like she was a face, thank you for the time. I've had a lot of time to think about this, and I do think it was the right decision to go with the blue hair. Just adds to the credibility of her saying, I don't care about anybody but myself. This is fine. All this is fine. If the WWE wants to maintain this standard, I'm sorry. Corey Graves may be a nice guy. Give him a different job doing something else. Keep him away from the announce team where he keeps poisoning the water with this nonsense of bickering back and forth and saying ridiculous things and trying to get himself over. Use an announce team that helps get the people in the ring over like you did this week. For that reason, even though I didn't like the ending and I didn't like a couple of other aspects, I'm still going to give it a B-. And it was almost a B+. Had they not won the belts, or it was a non-title match and it ended that way, this probably would have got an A-. But that was a very big mistake and a very, very, very crucial mistake not to make, and they made it. So that knocked it down one full grade for me, Mike. What's your thoughts?
You know, I'm gonna add to what you just said about Corey Graves. You know, if he shows up tonight, I'll be very disappointed. You know, but that's neither here nor there. The grading, I agree with you. It's going to, in fact, I'm going to go ahead because of the way they used the King. I'm going to go ahead and give it a B+.
There was a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. And again, it wasn't undersold by Corey Graves, who would have undersold things or said something stupid like Lawler deserved what he got. How dare he come back and think he's just supposed to hold a King's Court? Why? Because he's we don't need any of this. We really don't need any of this. I think it's a mistake, and I've thought it was a mistake for a long time to have a heel announcer, unless that heel announcer is more comedic like a Bobby Heenan, or when Jerry Lawler's a heel announcer and he's a little more comedic, because when Jerry Lawler's a heel announcer, he sells the face. See, that's the thing you got to remember. That's what Bobby Heenan did too. Jerry Lawler would say, oh, well, Dolph Ziggler is a prime athlete and this and that, and Roman Reigns is so overrated. Come on. Roman Reigns has been handed every opportunity, and then the second that Roman Reigns mounts the comeback, it's Bobby Heenan who would have been saying, I can't believe this. Where's he getting this energy from? What the hell's going on here? Come on, Ziggler, you're better than this. And Lawler would be doing the same thing. In a roundabout way, they're selling the face. A heel announcer's job is to sell the face, not to sell the heel. See, that's the psychology that people miss. Remember Bobby Heenan's great call of the Royal Rumble where he says, there's no one in the world who can touch Ric Flair in this Royal Rumble. Flair is the champion. Flair is the man. To be the man, you got to beat the man. And there's nobody here that can beat the man. And the second the Undertaker's music hits, Heenan says, oh, no, it's over. Somebody, hopefully he won't get to Rick. No, he's going right for him. Oh, everything we've worked for is over. He's selling the face. He's selling the face. Jerry Lawler was brilliant at selling the face. He would play up the heel, but ultimately, by playing up the heel, he would sell the face. Corey Graves sells the heel. He's making a mistake when he does that, and he doesn't realize it. Face announcers sell the heel. Heel announcers sell the face in a roundabout way. That's the way it should go. He doesn't get it. Anyway, Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you, a B plus.
You're going B plus. Okay, so you're going with Mike at a B plus. So we got a B minus and two B pluses. Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It was a pretty good Raw. It was an enjoyable Raw. Mike, do you agree with me, though, on my philosophy, on my psychology, that a good heel announcer always sells the face in a roundabout way?
Right. You're right on that. And look, a good example of that was what he did with Hogan, you know, what Cena did with Hogan when Hogan joined the NWO. And he said to sell the face, to sell himself as a good announcement, to sell the faces, he said, well, I told you Hogan was this way. I've been telling you Hogan was this way for years, and nobody would believe me. You know,
or at WrestleMania 3, when Andre the Giant loses, and as they're being hauled back on that gurney, Heenan has his head in his hands, despondent. You know, he didn't have to do that. A Corey Graves philosophy would have had Heenan saying it was an unfair victory. He cheated. Andre really won. No, Heenan was just despondent, saying, how did this happen? How in the world could this man have done it? That's selling the face. Somebody has to get to Corey Graves and explain to them that you just mocking the face isn't selling the face. You just siding with the bad guy constantly isn't selling the face. The idea behind selling the face is that you side with the bad guy, but you then put the face over in a very subtle way. Again, if we point to last night, you could say, oh, Roman Reigns has had it. Look, he's being out-wrestled by Dolph Ziggler. You do know that Dolph Ziggler is a legit wrestler. You know how many trophies he has back in his hometown or whatever, and Roman Reigns doesn't have one trophy, okay? Roman Reigns probably never went into a gym class in his life. How's he going to get into the gym class with his hair all greased up and everything? You know, you totally sell Dolph Ziggler, but then as soon as that spear hits, you'd be like, oh, my God, he broke him in half, poor Dolph Ziggler. Where does he get that energy from? How did he kick out of that? You know, you have to sound agitated, and that's selling the face. Because then the fans say, yeah, you know, he's right. Roman kicked out of this and kicked out of that. And, you know, at the end, you have to be the guy saying, I can't believe it. Damn it, Ziggler. You had it, Ziggler. Why did you have to blow it? Why did you have to talk it up? You had him. And you blew it. Damn that Roman Reigns. That sells Roman Reigns, even though you're the heel. That's what a heel announcer does. And the face announcers are the ones who are saying, you know, this guy is a great athlete, and it's going to be an uphill battle. I don't care how tough this guy thinks he is. I don't care how whatever. And then when the bad guy wins, you say, I can't believe the referee didn't see that, or I can't believe he got away with this. And who in the world is going to stop this guy? That's how you subtly sell the heel if you're a face announcer. That's the way it goes. Corey Graves has not learned that lesson. Corey Graves is out there saying, I guess I'm a heel announcer, so my job is to sell the heel. Even if the face wins, I'm going to say, yeah, but the heel was better. No, but the face cheated. No, no. He's wrong, absolutely wrong. No, he's no match. Everybody knows it. He got lucky to win, but he's no match for him. That's not what you do. That's not what you do at all. That's the exact opposite of what you do. So, I'm not a Corey Graves fan. I just don't think he mixes well with what the WWE's product is. Now, that may work somewhere else. But it's not working for what the WWE's product is. And the proof is in the pudding last night when I'm listening to these announcers and I'm buying what they're selling. And I never buy what Corey Graves is selling. Now, tonight on SmackDown, we'll get the rest of the King of the Ring opening matches. I think it's Todd. It's Kevin Owens, and I don't know who Kevin Owens is versing. Do you remember offhand who Kevin Owens faces tonight in the tournament?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Sure who's...
I know it's Kevin Owens, and I'm trying to think of who the next couple of guys. Buddy Murphy and I don't know who's. It's Buddy Murphy's got a match, and obviously Kevin Owens has a match. My assumption is both of those guys will be the winners. So you'll have Kevin Owens, Buddy Murphy, unless Buddy Murphy gets attacked again. Kevin Owens, Buddy Murphy. I think it's Ali. Murphy against Ali. I'm thinking Kevin Owens, Buddy Murphy, then obviously Samoa Joe and Cedric Alexander. This could shape up to be a pretty good King of the Ring tournament, and I think the WWE is doing a smart thing, stretching it out over several Raws and SmackDowns, making it must-watch TV because you want to see who's going to the next round. That's a smart move. So we'll see tonight if we have the return of Corey Graves. I don't think so. I think he's off for a little bit, which means we have an opportunity now. For all the people who are saying, oh, I don't know, I don't think Corey Graves is so bad. If he's not on tonight, just please sit back and listen. Pay a little more attention to the announcers maybe than you normally do. And then you can give me your honest opinion if I'm right or if I'm wrong. But in my opinion, the announced team they had last night, whether it was Jerry Lawler filling in or Vic Joseph, was far, far superior and made every single one of the other two announcers better. Not worse. Better. So we'll see how that happens. We will be back here on Friday, and we'll let you know what we thought of SmackDown, and of course we'll be here Sunday with our normal show. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.